Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Alice's brother William has just figured up Phil's total income tax for the year 1950. He has shown the figures to Phil, and Phil's reaction is that of any good, loyal American citizen.
I ain't gonna pay it! I don't understand it. I keep the band working all the time. They won't even give me a quarter deduction for uniforms, the blazers I'm using.
Phil. Don't get yourself all excited. You'll have to pay your taxes.
Oh, honey, I know, but gee whiz, after working hard all year, I haven't got nothing left. Willie, are you sure that you figured my tax right? Did you deduct all of my dependents?
Yes, I copied the list you gave me. It included Alice, myself, baby Alice, little Phyllis, your mother, father, Aunt Matilda, and Lord Calvert.
Lord Calvert?
My English uncle. I send him a halfpenny or two to keep the old ancestral estate. The hop gardens and such, you know. I can't understand, though, why I got such little left. It's
your own fault, Philip. You're too extravagant in your business dealings. You pay your employees much too much.
They're worth every penny I pay them. That's why I have the best band in the country.
This is the best?
You said it. Them guys have talent. They can play even when they're blind, folded. They're very capable musicians.
And another thing, why do you have 60 men in your orchestra? Only 30 of them play instruments. What do the other 30 do?
They sit behind the guys with the instruments and tap them on the shoulders when it's turned to join in. Or something like that. Let's make it when it's their turn to join in.
Now, Philip, if you want to save any money, you're going to have to reduce the salaries of your band. You should think about saving something for the future.
Don't worry. I've got a little annuity stashed away for my old age.
What annuity?
Your sister. She's my little blonde coupon clipper.
You know, Phil, Willie's right. You can't run a business on a losing basis.
You just have to fire all your musicians who don't have any talent and are completely worthless.
Like who?
Like all your musicians? And the first one to go should be Frankie.
Now, wait a minute. Frankie ain't worthless. He has certain rare qualities that are seldom found in human beings. Why, only last week he was offered $100 a day for his services, wasn't he, Alice?
Yes, he was.
Who would pay him $100 a day and for what?
The Mayo Clinic, just to study him.
It wasn't the Mayo Clinic. It was some big band leader named Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. Besides, I'd never get rid of Frankie. I need him.
You need him like you need a third thumb. Well, anyway, I didn't mean that you should fire Frankie, but you'll have to cut his salary along with the rest of the band.
Oh, Alice. You've led too sheltered a life. I mean, you just don't tell musicians that you're cutting their salary.
Why not? Don't be a coward, Philip. You just stand right up in front of those fellas and tell them you're reducing their wages.
I like the way this guy spills my blood. Besides, I tried to cut the band's salary a few years ago.
What happened?
It took 5 hours for the plumber to remove the tuba from around my neck.
Philip, if they get tough with you, you'll just have to fire them.
But I tell you, I don't want to fire them. Anyway, I can't. Who else could I get to play my type of songs? Who'd be willing to play things like this? In my dream dreams, I seem to hear a whistle shrill, like the whippoorwilling of the whippoorwill. In my ears, I hear it ringing, and to me the past it is bringing. It reminds me of the dear old Mississippi, when I loaded cotton on that stern wheel ship. Roused above, knocked about, those were the happy days, there's no doubt. On the Mississippi, where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, people all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, hear those banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is clinging to that Mississippi, dear old Mississippi, that's where I belong. I just have to close my eyes to see that sight, that river all a-glistening in the bright moonlight. With my gal, again I am strolling, and her eyes at me, they are rolling. All along the levee, see those people dance, listen to the music, watch that shuffling dance. Lordy me, can't you see that there is only one place for me, and it's on old Mississippi, on the Mississippi, where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, people all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, hear those banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is clinging to the Mississippi, dear old Mississippi, that's where I was born.
Philip, I've checked your tax report again, and you'll just have to cut your musician's salaries. If you don't, you'll go bankrupt.
Oh, it's as bad as that, huh? Well, in that case, I'll just have to tell the guys. But it ain't gonna be easy. And the only one that'll understand will be Remley. He won't mind taking a cut.
What Remley are you talking about?
I'm talking about Frankie. He'd work for me for nothing if I asked him to. Frankie's a true pal. If the rest of the guys in the band were like him, I wouldn't have any trouble at all. I wouldn't mind going down and tell... Uh-oh, I'll get that.
Hiya, Curly.
Ah, hello, Frankie. Glad you showed up. You can help me prove a point. Look, if I ask you to, pal, you'd work for me for nothing, wouldn't you?
Oh, this guy's still hung over from New Year's Eve.
Frankie, I don't like your answer.
I didn't think much of your question, either. What kind of a way is that to greet a guy? What are you getting at, anyway?
Well, it's about your salary with the band.
What about it?
Well, look, Rem, I know that you're aware that living costs have gone up, taxes are higher, everything costs more, and, well, there's only one thing I can do.
Well, thanks, Curly. I accept the raise.
Remley,
Oh, this is wonderful of you, Curly. Now I can afford to send my mother to Ireland. She's always wanted to go back to see the old sod.
Well, I didn't know your father still lived, and I... Oh, the old sod. Remley, I'm not giving you a raise. I'm cutting your salary.
I'll thank you to watch your language in front of a paid-up union member.
But, Frankie,
One more filthy remark like that, and I'll have Papa Petrillo wash your mouth out with soap. And water.
Will you listen to me, Remley? Now, look, I've been going over my taxes for the year, and... Well, either I cut your salary in half, or I go bankrupt.
Oh. Well, that's different, Curly. You have no alternative. Go right ahead.
I can cut your salary?
No, go bankrupt.
Do you want me to go bankrupt?
Well, no, Curly, but I just can't take a cut, especially at this time.
Well, why not?
Well, I don't want to burden you with my troubles, but when they lifted the rent control, my landlord raised my rent. I couldn't afford it, and he threw me out on the street this morning with all my belongings. Sidewalks all cluttered up with everything I own.
How much cluttering can a toothbrush do?
I have more than one toothbrush. fact, I had to hire a van to put all my furniture and personal effects in. Now I have a moving van full of my belongings and no place to go.
Oh, well, Remley, Wait a minute. Now, who are you trying to kid with that sob story? I don't believe that you've been put out.
If you don't believe me, look out of your window and you'll see them unloading the van now.
Holy smoke, he's telling... Remley, you can't move in here.
Why not?
Well, we got children in the house and the Board of Health won't allow it. Frankie, I'd like to have you, but I just can't take...
But Curly, we've been pals since we were kids. We've always shared things. Don't you remember when we were 12 years old, we made a vow that we'd split everything? And we took a knife and signed it in blood?
Yeah. I'll never forget it. We used your knife and my blood. Look, Frankie, I'd love to have you stay here, but you'll remember you lived here for 3 weeks once.
So?
So after you left, Alice had to go to a psychiatrist. I was forced to drink to forget. And we had to keep the kids on a leash for 2 months.
Well, it ain't my fault if you're a high-strung family. Curly, Alice won't mind if I move in for a while. At least you could do is ask her.
All right, I'll ask her. Hey, Alice, will you come in here a minute, please?
And when she comes in, make it sound like you're happy about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be happy.
What do you want, Phil? Oh, hello, Frankie.
Hiya, Alice. Curly's got some great news for you.
Yes, honey. I have some wonderful surprise for you. Frankie's moving in with us again. All right, there she goes again. Call us the honey, honey. Please control yourself. Alice, get down off of that chandelier.
Oh, stop exaggerating, Curly. Look, Alice, you gotta take me in. I was put out of my apartment this morning. I have no home. I have no place to go.
Oh, Frankie, I didn't know. I'm awfully sorry about that. I'd ask you to move in here with us, except for one thing.
What?
I don't want you. You behaved horribly the last time you stayed here, and I'm not going through with that again.
But, Alice, you can't turn me out. I'm the oldest friend Curly has. Why, we used to go to school together.
That's right, honey. Frankie used to carry my books home for me.
Frankie carried your books home?
Yeah. In those days, my curls were longer, and I had him completely fooled.
And every day after school, we used to play together on the same lot.
I know, but... Wait a minute. How could you two play together every day when you were kids? Phil lived in Tennessee, and you lived in North Dakota.
We used to meet in Chicago.
Look, honey, why don't we try it for a while? We can manage.
Phil, if Frankie moves in, I move out.
Well, thanks, Alice. Your bed is much more comfortable than the one in the guest room. Isn't that nice of her, Curly, giving me her bed?
Alice ain't moving out.
Now, Frankie, you're not moving in here, and that's final. There's no necessity for it. All you have to do is find a new apartment.
I've looked everywhere, and I just can't find a place.
Then we'll help you look. I'll find you a place to live if I have to buy every apartment house in the city.
She can do it, too. Well, if we're going to look, let's get started.
Well, wait for me, fellas. I'll get my hat and song and go with you. The breeze is chasing the zephyr. The moon is chasing the sea. The bull is chasing the heifer. But nobody's chasing me. The rooster's chasing the chicken. The pee-wee, some wee pee-wee. The cat is taking a licking. But nobody's taking me. Nobody wants to own me, and I object. Nobody wants to phone me, not even collect. The leopards chasing the leopard. The chimp, some champ, chimpanzee. The sheep are chasing the shepherd. But nobody's chasing me.
Nobody, nobody's chasing me. The flood is chasing the levee. The a Chevy.
But nobody's chasing me. Each night I get the mirror from off the shelf. Each night I'm getting nearer, chasing myself.
The clams are almost a mixing. The hams are chasing TV. The fox is chasing the vixen.
But nobody's chasing me.
Nobody.
Nobody's chasing me. You were right, Frankie. It is hard to find an apartment.
Well, here's one more. Let's try it. It wouldn't be so hard if you weren't with us, Remley. You look so darn sloppy, nobody wants to rent to you.
I resent that. I'm very fastidious.
Frankie, this time let me talk to the manager, huh?
You insist, but it's ridiculous. I create a very good impression on people.
How do you do, sir?
Oh. How do you do, miss? What can I do for you?
Do you have a vacant apartment?
Oh, yes, yes. Is it for you?
No. No, it's for Mr. Remley here.
This one, lady?
Yes. What do you say?
Get out of here with that!
How do you like that guy?
I like him fine. He bought my record.
Well, come on, fellas. Let's keep looking.
Look, I'm ready to give up looking for a place for Frankie.
Me too.
I'm not.
Hey, wait a minute. Here's a nice-looking apartment building. Yeah. I think I'll be very happy here. I'll take anything they got just to get in this place.
What's the name of the apartment?
I don't know. It's got a kind of a Polish name. Jaucha. Yowika. I don't know, I can't pronounce it.
How's it spelled?
YWCA.
Yeah, come on, it's Polish. They'll never understand you. Alice, why don't we give up? There aren't any apartments available.
Well, then let's check the newspaper for furnished rooms.
Alice, it's no use. They won't even take him in a furnished room. We've tried them all.
Well, this is the last place. It has a sign, furnished room for rent. Ring the bell.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to live in this broken-down neighborhood. The house looks like a fire trap.
Don't argue. If they have a room, you're going to take it.
All right. Before I do, I'm going to look it over carefully. The beds, the closets, and the way it's furnished. I'm going to examine everything.
How do you do? I suppose you're here to see...
I'll take the room.
I never saw such a careful examination.
May I see the room, miss?
Well, I'm sorry. I rented about 5 minutes ago. It's been taken by a young man.
Well, I got connections. I think I could have him drafted.
I'm sorry we don't have that room. But we do expect to have a vacancy in about 6 months. Why don't you call me?
Why waste a nickel? I'll just wait here.
Come on! Lily, will you get out of there? Thank you, miss.
Well, that's the last place. I guess I'll have to stay at your house.
Not so fast. Let me look at that paper again. I may have missed something.
Hey, honey, look at this ad. Big new housing project. Plenty of apartments for rent to men who... Oh, nuts. It's not good for Frankie.
Why not?
They're only available to men with families.
Then we'll get him a family.
Alice, I'm beginning to get the impression that you don't want me to live at your house.
Let's see. First, he has to have a wife. I wonder who we can get to pose as his wife.
If I put my long curls on again, maybe
no.
I...
No!
No, huh?
No. Alice? How about you pretending to be my wife?
Me? I would... All right. I'm so desperate, I'll even think that low.
And I'll borrow your kids to be my children.
Oh, no, that I draw the line at. You're
me
not...
too. But don't worry, Frankie. I'll find a child for you. In the meantime, you fellas rush over to the housing project and put a deposit on an apartment. Tell them your wife and child will be over in a little while.
Okay, wifey dear. I can't wait for you to return so I can embrace you and tell you...
Remley!
What?
Look. Now, let me brief you about this wife routine. Alice is only pretending to be your wife. Pretending, like in make-believe. Not real, old boy.
Spoil sport. Come on, let's get over to the housing project. Then I can have the apartment, Mr. Barbie?
I don't see why not, Mr. Remley. This housing project was built specifically with men with families. Now, you do have a family?
Oh, yes. I have a lovely family, don't I, Curly?
Oh, yes, yes. His wife, Alice, is a beautiful girl and very talented.
What a figure. In a bathing suit, she's a combination of Lana Turner, Jane Russell, and Betty Grable.
She is? I gotta take her swimming more often.
Well, your wife must be a very young girl.
Oh, she is.
If I'm not too inquisitive, how old is Mrs. Remley?
42.
She's 48.
She's 29.
She's 34. I ought to know. I've been living with her for 9 years.
What?
I mean, I've been living with the two of them for 9 years.
Oh, I see. Now, just how many children do you have, Mr. Remley?
One.
A boy or a girl?
It's... I don't know. My wife hasn't told me yet. But they'll be here any minute. We can see for ourselves.
Mr. Remley, how come you don't know what sex your own child is?
I'm not the nosy type. See, I believe in complete freedom for the child. Let it grow up to be whatever it wants to be. The way my father raised me, he said to me, Francis, when you grow up, you can be anything you want to be, as long as you turn out to be a man.
Too bad you let him down. Look, mister. Can't we sign the lease for the apartment now?
No, I'm sorry, but we'll have to wait for Mrs. Remley. It will need her signature, too. Oh, by the way, Mr. Remley, how old is your daughter? Your son.
Just call it the thing.
All right, how old is the thing?
Only 8 weeks, and I've already sold 1,224,000 records, for which RCA Victor gave me a gold record because I was the most popular artist.
We know. We know.
You said that.
Mr. Barbie, just wait till you see my little one. It's a.
Oh, Francis, where are you, darling?
There's my wife now. I'm right here, sweetheart.
Hello, dear.
Oh, I've missed you terribly, my gorgeous one. Come into my arms. Let me kiss you.
Cut! Emily, what are you kissing Alice for?
I'm trying to get an apartment.
Kiss the manager.
Curly.
If anyone kisses Alice, it's going to be me. Come here, Alice. There. Isn't that better, honey?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's go around once more and see.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Remley.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you allow this man to kiss your wife?
Well, I have to. You see, Mr. Harris is my wife's father. Aren't you, Dad?
Yep, that's my son-in-law. That's Frank. Well, I call him Frank, but his real name is Orville. He changed it for commercial purposes. Seemed to go better in his business. He was a real estate man. That's how he met my daughter. He was trying to sell her Mulholland Drive. Of course, I thought it was kind of funny. It was 1:30 in the morning. Couldn't see a gall darn thing, so I walked up, throwed my flashlight on him.
All right, Dad, that's enough.
Mr. Remley, is your father-in-law going to live with you?
Oh, yes. If Alice and I take the apartment, he'll move in with us.
You just ain't kidding, Herschel.
Mrs. Remley, your husband tells me you have a child. Where is the little one?
Oh, he's outside. I'll call our son.
Gee, it's a boy. Just what I always wanted. Tell our little boy to come in, dear.
Very well. Oh, Junior, come in a minute, dear.
Yes, son, come in here. Your father wants to talk to you.
What's on your mind, man?
Junior!
So you're Remley's son, huh? Well, don't stand there, egghead. Go over and kiss your father.
Poison me?
I have a better idea, Julius. Kiss your grandfather.
Which one is my grandfather?
That one.
He looks like an old Indian.
Naturally. Don't you remember your Grandpa Wanga?
Oh, of course. Could I forget that Navajo grandpa of mine? How's your blanket concession in Albuquerque, Gramps?
I wish I had my tomahawk with me. I'd scrape his insides out and make a canoe out of
him. My. The boy doesn't seem to get along too well with his grandfather.
Well, he's just a smart papoose. Beat it, kid. Go back to teepee and make Grandpa Buffalo meat sandwich.
How?
On bagel.
Now, Junior, make up with Grandpa Harris. Go over and kiss him on his withered old cheek.
I don't want to.
Why not?
I'm liable to get my nose caught in one of his wrinkles.
Then kiss him on his elbow.
All right.
Junior, you mustn't get fresh or Grandfather will punish you.
Yeah, I'll break every bone in your body.
You do, and I'll smash every martini glass in your bar.
Martini? Mr. Harris, this housing project has very strict rules against liquor. Do you drink?
I toast a friend now and then.
He's got more friends than anybody I know. And if it happens to be a stranger, that don't stop him either.
Well, tell me, son, how about your father? Does he imbibe?
Yeah, he's got a little toaster going for him, too.
I may be jumping to conclusions, but you don't sound like an ideal family to me. I'm afraid I can't let you have the apartment.
Oh, miss, you've just got to rent us the apartment. We have no place to stay, and you can't throw us out in this freezing weather. My husband is a sickly man, and he can't stand the cold.
Maybe we could fill him up with antifreeze.
All right, leave it alone. Mister, you got to give us the apartment. I don't care about myself, but my little grandson is so frail and delicate. You can't throw this little schnook out in the street.
I'm sorry, but you're not the kind of tenants we want. Goodbye.
Please, mister, you've got to give Frankie an apartment. He has no place to stay.
Don't plead with the man, Alice. Rather than have you lower yourself to the point of begging, I'll sacrifice myself. I'll stay at your house.
Oh, no, you don't. I refuse to sleep in the same house with you, and that's final. Phil, I can't stand any more of this. You can hear Frankie snoring all the way down here.
Well, don't blame Remley. He's not used to our bed.
Of all the nerve. He takes our room, our bed, and now I have to lie here and listen to him snore.
Honey, if it bothers you so much, get up and close the flap to our tent.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Gene Bates, Joe Kearns, and Gerald Moore.
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper, then The Third Man on NBC.